right, grab your Bibles and turn to the passage that has already been read so wonderfully from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And although I'm going to be talking through the first 21 verses or so, maybe more than that, I want to just read for this moment verse 1. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. It happened after this that the people of Moab and the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. This means war. This is part two. Somebody say, this means war, part two. Tell your neighbor, this means war. Tell them on the other side, this means war, part two. You can be seated. It's 1:13. Y'all come to 12 because you want me to take my time. Okay. I'm going to see how much y'all going to be cheering in the next hour and a half. So I started a series it wasn't a series, I just gave a message last week called This Means War, and it was talking to us about the fact that we are wrestling not against human beings, but against flesh and blood. We looked at Ephesians 6, and where the passage tells us in Ephesians 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. We are in a battle of war against the demons of hell who are after you, and we spend some time talking about putting on the armor of God and recognizing who we're doing battle with. Right? Do y'all remember that? If y'all weren't here, that's what we talked about last week. This is a continuation of that. And I want to talk about, you have to give me a few moments and lay down the foundations of what I want to talk about. What I need you to do is lay the foundation of this particular circumstance and situation. It is a situation where the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, is divided. Somebody say divided. They're divided into two parts. There's the nation of Israel, which is primarily most of the tribes. And then there's the tribe of Judah that has separated themselves from the rest of the tribes. Jehoshaphat has been selected and has become the king of Judah. Now the word Judah means praise. Somebody say praise. It means praise. And they are separated from the main tribes of Israel, and they're led by Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat reaches a place in history where the passage tells us that three nations, three people have decided to come against Jehoshaphat and to do battle and to fight him. And that's what verse 1 says. It happened after this that the people of Moab and the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle with Jehoshaphat, against Jehoshaphat. And so it's important to understand for the context of this message who it is that has come to do battle with Jehoshaphat. It is the Ammonites, the Moabites, and it says in verse 1, and others. And we know the others are the Edomites. So it's the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the mosquito bites, and the termites. I was able to resist it in the first service, but I couldn't do it in the last two services. But who are the Moabites? Who are the Ammonites? And who are the Edomites? It's very important that you understand who they are, because who they are plays a role in what's going on in your life today. The Ammonites and the Moabites are the descendants of Lot. Lot had two daughters. And at a point in the history when their father was about to die, Lot's two daughters decided to get Lot drunk and sleep with their father. They get his father drunk. Then they go in and sleep with him. He must have been pretty drunk not to know that these were his kids. But y'all do know the spirit of incest is alive and well in our communities. They sleep with their father. They both get pregnant. And one gives birth to Moab and the other one gives birth to Ammon. And for the rest of their history, these two tribes of people present problems for Israel. The Edomites are the descendants of Esau. See, if y'all knew the Bible, I wouldn't have to tell y'all who Esau was. But I need to tell the 12 o'clock crowd exactly who Esau was. Look at your neighbor and say, you know you don't know who Esau was. Esau was a son of Isaac. Isaac gave birth, his wife gave birth to two twin boys, Jacob and Esau. Y'all got to follow me. For you to understand what I'm going to talk about today, you got to follow this. Jacob and Esau, twins. Esau was the oldest. He came out first. Grabbing hold of his heel and coming out after him was Jacob. Twins. They're two completely different young men. One is hairy all over. The other one is smooth skin. One is an outdoors man. The other is an indoor man. They're two differently complete, even though they're born with the same father, the same mother. They're twins. One day Esau is out in the field hunting, and he comes in from the field. He catches nothing, and he's hungry. In his hunger, when he walks into the house, his twin brother Jacob, who's a mama's boy. I wish I knew the Bible. I wouldn't have to explain that to you. Is in the kitchen cooking a sandwich and some soup. Esau comes in and says, give me some of the food that you're making. Yeah. To which Jacob says, I will only give it to you if you will sell me your birthright. And that birthright meant something very significant. The birthright meant that he was in charge when his brother wasn't around. He got a double portion of his father's estate. It meant a whole lot of things. It was the premier position when you got the birthright. And for a momentary thrill, for a minute's pleasure, for a piece of meat, Esau sold his birthright. Now, all three of these fellas and their descendants who are now coming to fight Judah. Judah represents praise. The Edomites, the Moabites, and the Ammonites. Ammonites, Moabites, Edomites. Want to come and stop Judah's praise. Now here's why I need to talk to you about this, because those same spirits and descendants are trying to stop you from praising God. And what is that? What is that spirit? Last week I talked about the external forces that are fighting against you. Today I want to talk about the internal forces that you have to war with. There's an internal battle. There's some external battles. There's some principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. But there's also some spirits inside of you. Some of you got to do battle with yourself. And what is the battle inside of you that you have to do with? For most of the people in this congregation, in our community, it has to do with your own sexual sins. Oh, I know I'm in the right crowd now. I know I got the right people. This is it. I know y'all don't want to talk about it. I saw some of y'all shut up real quick as soon as I said that, because you know you got some sexual drama going on in your life. And the assignment that I have today for the next hour and a half that I have is to talk to you about your sexual sins. I know you don't want to hear it. I know you don't want to talk about it. But I have a responsibility and a challenge to talk to you about it. And I know it's alive, because it's alive in the church. It's alive in the church. I told you, this is the First Corinthian Baptist Church of Glen Arden. I got to talk about it because it's a problem in the church in general. And it's a problem in the community. Our culture, our society is overly sexed. Now, the Ammonites and the Moabites, I'm going to get this right eventually, represent sexual sin. That nation was birthed in immorality. Esau is birthed in satisfying the flesh. And some of you might not have sexual issues, but you got satisfying the flesh issues. And here's what it is. Here's the battle. No. Some of you got battles. You got external battles, but some of this translates into your own internal battles. We got internal battles going on that we're wrestling with. And we're wrestling with these sexual sins. Look at your neighbor. Say, I think he's talking about you. Go ahead. Look at your neighbor. Look at the person on both sides. Says, I think he's talking about you. Now here's what I've learned. We've got sexual issues in our community. It's overly sexed. Everything is sexed. The news about sex. The programs are about sex. The music is about sex. The magazines are about sex. It's an overly sexed thing. No wonder our kids are having sex at such an early age, because everything fuels sex. And it's a problem. It's a problem because I discovered that when cities have conventions, here's an interesting statistic. When religious organizations have conferences in cities, the hotels say they know it's a religious convention in town because the pornography that's being ordered in the hotel goes up significantly. I don't know what y'all saying ooh for, because you went there, you did it. Isn't that a horrible testimony to the kingdom of God that the hotel says, we know it's a religious convention in town now because the porn movies that's been ordered has shot up. And we got problems. It's a problem. Pornography. Matter of fact, sex has become such a normal thing, we've made it acceptable. We've engrafted it into our life. We're not bothered to see nakedness on television. We're not bothered to the foul music that's being played. We buy the music. We promote the music. They call women bees. And we can go with all of that and all of that discussion. We roll right with it. It doesn't bother us. But we love Jesus. It's a battle. It's an internal battle. Matter of fact, the Bible's clear. Pornography is a problem. You need to stop watching pornography. Look at your neighbor and say, stop watching pornography. Y'all didn't say it. Y'all didn't say it. What's wrong with pornography? Somebody say, what's wrong? Ain't nobody but me and the TV or me and the computer. What's wrong with that? There's a lot of problems with it because it places images in your mind. Here's the problem with pornography. You watch it, now you want to come and try it with your wife. Or your husband. Come on, talk to me for a minute. Pornography is not real. You get these images in your mind and the images don't go away. You want to know why you always wired. Why you always walking around at attention. It's because it's in your head. Are y'all listening to me? Can I just talk to y'all? I'm trying to be smooth with it. I'm trying to be, you know, acceptable with it. But y'all understand what I'm saying, right? And you come to church to worship God. And here you say, and I'm so glad God never. And then bam, there it is in your mind. Boom. An image that won't go away. You need to leave the pornography alone. You need to leave your extramarital affairs alone. My wife shocked me I tried to not, I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to believe it. I didn't want to believe it. I didn't want to believe it. But she told me one day, she did a survey of the women in our single women in our church and discovered a huge percentage of single women who are involved in relationships with married men. My assignment is to tell y'all, you need to repent. The men and the women need to repent. It goes both ways. Maybe your problem is not with the pornography. Maybe it's not with the adultery. Maybe you're not fornicating. We got a lot of fornicators in the church. I mean, they, people who are not married, but they're having sex. And it is the norm of our day. And let me sound the alarm. Let me sound the alarm that you cannot continue to say you're a child of God and be having sex with somebody that's not your spouse. Let me be clear that the Bible says that if that is your lifestyle, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I got married to my wife when I was 21. I was 21 years age because I didn't want to. I want to go to heaven. Yeah, I wanted to have sex without guilt. Y'all might as well say, come on, say amen. Talk back to me. I'm trying to be real with you. I don't understand going 35, 40, 45, 50. If you're a normal person, you need to be trying to get married. Come on, talk to me for just a second. Now, some of y'all say, well, I ain't having sex with nobody, so I'm okay. I'm fine. I just want to make sure you're not having sex with nobody and you're not having sex with yourself. Say amen on that one myself. Because it's a problem. Sex is a problem. It's permeating our country, and if somebody don't say something about it, I need to make you aware. I've got to sound the alarm. I got to shout with a loud voice, tell you, you can't keep living your life that kind of way. God will punish you. Let's be clear about it. I know y'all sing, I love that song that we just sung. I love it. Aren't you glad God never gave you what you deserve? I'm so glad God never gave me what I deserve. That's right. It's not that you don't deserve more. Do not use the grace of God has an excuse to continue in what you've done. Now, when people get deep in sin, when they get deep in sin, they don't get there overnight. When they get deep into sexual sin, I mean, you done slept with everything. It's a regular part of your life. It's just a routine. You don't get there overnight. It doesn't start overnight. It starts by you. Nobody ever jumps into the deep end of the pool. Everybody starts off on the shallow end. You want to test it out. Just try it out. Testing the waters. Look at a few pages. Hurry up and close the book. Just want to try, but let me see. After you done gotten in ankle deep, watch a few movies, and lightning didn't come down, then you say, let me go out a little bit further into the mighty deep. Get comfortable there. Before you know it, now you're at the club getting lap dances. Now you're going to take her upstairs to the VIP section. Don't look at me like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. You get further and further and deeper in. More and more. Before you know it now, y'all was just dabbling. I was just kissing real heavy. Took your clothes off. But you didn't go all the way. Feeling something over in this section right here. Don't know what it is. Next thing you know, you're all the way in the water. You're all the way out there, deep in, and it becomes a regular part of your life. You used to have conviction about it, but it doesn't even bother you anymore. You plan it now. And before you know it, the Edomites, the Moabites, and the Ammonites have taken your praise. Now you can't worship. Now you don't want to go to church no more. And when you do come, you can't worship. Because you now have lived your life so much so to the point of satisfying your flesh. Because that's what Esau does. Esau is about a momentary thrill. Amen. Now you're living your life as a pattern of satisfying momentary thrills. And let's be clear. I know y'all not going to like this. I only been preaching 15 minutes. Y'all got an hour and 15 to go. Somebody say, hurry up and get off this section. They want me to hurry up and move to the next section. Yeah, one person said, take your time. Ain't nobody else said it. Do y'all hear what I'm saying to you today? You get yourself in a posture, a place, and I want to be crystal clear. If you sow and act, you reap a habit. And if you sow a habit, you reap a lifestyle. And if you sow a lifestyle, you reap a destiny. The Bible's crystal clear. If this is your lifestyle, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Ain't getting no amens from back over in this section over here. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? You will not stand before God and say that Pastor Jenkins did not try to warn you. And people are so bold about it now. I come across many people, many, who are members of the First Baptist Church of Glen Arc. And they said, hey, Pastor, we just coming back from vacation. We at the baggage claim. They getting their bag. They not married. They just, we members. Yeah, we live together. Now, they want me to think that they went away on a trip, got two separate rooms. Now, I might have been born at night, but it wasn't last night. I'm sounding the alarm that you better repent. Whatever your issue is, whatever it is, let me sound the alarm. You can listen to what the world tells you all you want. Amen. But my assignment is to tell you what's wrong and what's right. And my assignment is to tell you sex before marriage is wrong. And sex after marriage is wrong. If it's not with your spouse. They got quiet on that one, Brother John. They shut down. What? Sex within the same sex is wrong.
Amen. 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 Yeah.
This ain't my law. I didn't write this. This is the Bible. I didn't make this up. And one day we all gonna have to stand before God and give an account for the decisions we made against the standard of the scriptures. My job is just, I'm just a mailman. Don't get mad at me. All I'm here to do is to deliver the mail that God gave me to give to you. That's all I'm here to do. I'm challenging you about what you look at, the shows you look at, the music you listen to, the pictures you look at. Some of y'all think because it's not a visual look, you think it's okay just to read the books. What's the book that the women are reading now that's real spicy? Huh? What's the name of it?
Fifty Shades of Grey.
That's the name of it. Is it good?
I don't know.
You don't know? Yeah. Okay, ain't nobody read the book, but y'all know the book. They say it's graphic. It's graphic. Oh, somebody said, oh, they seen the movie. Oh, okay. Seen the movie?
They definitely seen the movie.
You seen it? You don't know nothing about it? Okay. Right answer. That's the right answer. Do y'all hear what I'm saying to you today?
Yes, sir.
Because you're feeding yourself. You're fueling yourself. You want to know why you can't live holy? Here's the answer. Let me close. Because I feel myself about to say some things that I'm going to later regret. Look at chapter 20 here. So here these three come against them, the Ammonites, Moabites, and the Edomites. They come to do battle with Jehoshaphat. They want to shut down his praise. It's an internal battle for you to deal with. Then verse number 2, then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat, verse 3, feared and set himself to seek the Lord. I'm going to tell you how to resolve this issue. Here's the start of it. It's not a complete program, but let's start right here. Here's this man, have all of these challenges, all of the descendants of the sexual sins and the descendants of Edom and Ammon and Esau's descendants, all of whom represent selfish, flesh, sexual sins. They come against him, and here's what he decided to do. Verse 3. He feared, and here's what he did. He set himself to seek the Lord. Now, I know this sounds super spiritual, but I need to tell you, here's what you need to do. You need to position yourself to seek God.
Yeah.
You know what I believe? It's impossible to live an engaged life of sin and disobedience while at the same time in heart pursuit of God.
Amen.
You're going to be obedient to one or the other. You're either chasing after God and running after God and seeking after God and trying to get in God's face, or you're satisfying your flesh. I discovered that the only way I can bring this flesh of mine under control is I've got to be in hot pursuit of the Almighty God. And you know what? You know what Jehoshaphat did? I'm almost finished. No, I'm not. Let me take that lie back. Here's what he says. He proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cedars of Judah, they came to seek God. They got into a posture, a place of chasing after God. And that's the problem that many of us have. We're not in hot pursuit of God. You're chasing after everything but God. You're running after everyone but God. You are scheduling your time to try to get in somebody's face, try to hook up with somebody, try to connect with somebody, try to do something here and do something there. And my assignment is to proclaim to you, get in God's face. He got in God's face. He sought after the Lord. How do you do that? He fasted. And then when you get to verse
5, Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, verse 6, O Lord, God of our fathers. And from verse 6 through 12, he prays. Seeking after God means that here's what fasting does. It denies your flesh. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to deny your flesh. Look at the other side. Tell him you could stand to miss a few meals. Go ahead. Tell him that real quick. Y'all can't handle the truth. Y'all don't like that? You know what's right here? It is a simple model that God gives us of how he overcame these people that came, these spirits, these nations that came against him. He made a simple point of pursuing God and praying. I think it's hard to have a life where you're doing both of those. Talking to God and seeking after God and turning your face down where God won't give you the victory. You know what I discovered about the Lord? You take a step toward him, he'll take some steps towards you. It's a simple verse, but it's so profound and it's so true and it's so powerful and it's so anointing to hear this man made a decision. These people are coming more than I can handle. I don't know what to do about it, because here's the reality. Most of us cannot handle our sexual passions. You've been trying. You've been trying for years to overcome it, but it keeps bringing you. Do good for a little while, but then you mess up. You do good for a few days, then you mess up. You do good for a few hours, then you mess up. It requires the need of getting in the face of Almighty God. And I am persuaded that it is impossible for you to get in God's face and he not smear you with grace to be able to make the right choices and do the right things and help you be more than a conqueror. Yes. Preach on, Pastor Jenkins! Really, be honest, you ain't never had a life where you were in full pursuit of God. You ain't never turned off those television programs, canceled those prescriptions, stopped reading a certain book. You ain't never got to a place where you stopped listening to a certain kind of music, and you want to know why you can never get the victory? You need to let that stuff go and pursue after God. He fasted and he prayed. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, he fasted and he prayed. Tell him on the other side, he fasted and he prayed. Now look at this. Verse 14. I love the 12 o'clock service. Because I haven't read this verse all day. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. Y'all see that? And he said, verse 15, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours. I need somebody to give God a shout and say, this is not a battle that I can win. I've tried. I tried to quit. I tried to get out the relationship. I tried to make it stop. I tried to stop looking at it. I tried to change, but I wasn't able. But I hear the word from the Lord from this precept. The battle is not yours. It's God's. And when you pursue after him, he will give you the strength, the power, the grace you need. For the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. He will give you the victory. Verse 16, tomorrow, go down against them. Verse 16, they will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Juriel. You will not need to fight in this battle. But here's what you do need to do is position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah. and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Verse 18. Here it is. I'm almost done. That's another lie I told. I'm coming to the close. And Jehoshaphat, verse 18, bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Y'all missed a great spot to shout right there. Somebody tell your neighbor, you missed a great spot to shout right there. Here's what I love. God says, here's what you need to do. You need to bow your head to the ground. You need to take your leaders and lead them in worship. That's what verse 19 says. Verse 18 says they worship. Verse 19 says the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Oh, I love that. God says what you need to do is get into the practice of worshiping God. You need to stop being worried about what people think about you and what people say about you. And you need to open your mouth and make a declaration to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Some of you will never get to victory because you're too concerned about what other people think about you. But my assignment is to tell you, stop worrying about what they say and be worried about what he says and what he believes and what he thinks. Can I get an amen right there from anybody? So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And we and he had consulted with the people. He appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Here is the answer. Here is the solution. Seek God, and while you are seeking God, open your mouth and raise your hands and bow your head and worship the living God Almighty. Give him the praise and give him the glory and give him the shout. I don't know what the correlation is, but all I know is that somehow God will give you deliverance. Somebody high-five your neighbor and say, I know he's right about that. Verse 22:4 says this, when they began to sing and praise and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Edom to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Edom, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. All I'm trying to tell you is if you seek God and worship him, if you are in hot pursuit of God and worship him, you can't also satisfy your flesh at the same time. And before you know it, he will give the victory. He will defeat the enemies and the plots and the plans to take you out. That's all I'm trying to tell you. He'll give you the help you need, the power you need, the grace you need to make the righteous choice. And that's my challenge to you today. Don't let the demon of your own internal fight of satisfying your flesh and being like Esau be the spirit that keeps you away from an intimate relationship with God. Give God a shout.